So what I'm planning to talk about, very, very simple presentation. What was the project? Why did we do it? How did it go? And what are we doing next? So in terms of what the project was, it was, as this says, a collaborative project to see the Public Service Commission transition to 100% digital approval environment in a similar manner to Department of Premier and Cabinet, following an interagency deliver approach. Why did we do it this way? What were the key drivers of collaboration? We were concerned about time to deliver. We wanted to do this relatively quickly. And one of the drivers for that, that I'll talk about later in terms of sponsorship, was that one of our deputy commissioners, Sonia Stewart, was seconded for a period of about 3 to 4 months to work in DPC, in Premier's, and had the experience of their electronic approvals process and came back and said, I want what they're having. So we wanted to do that, and we wanted to do that fairly quickly. We thought that collaborating with DPC, and it was a suggestion, in fact, I'm pretty sure about a year and a half ago, before we started this, Mitya Antonin, always stumble over his surname, Antonovich, came here and made a presentation about what they were doing. And following that, we talked to them. And so it was an entrepreneurial impulse, I think, of Mitya's to say, we've done this project in Premier's. We've developed a lot of expertise while doing this project. We've got this capability. The rest of the sector could learn from this. How will we go about doing that? And we thought that we'd give it a whirl and say, well, yeah, we'll have one. And so that was what happened there. And we thought that taxpayer accountability, it was going to, the estimate was that it would probably cost... So in some sense, I suppose, since all of the money that we paid for the project stayed in the sector, and in fact even in the cluster, it's 100% of a project saving to the taxpayer. But from our agency's point of view, it probably cost us about 40% less than it would have cost us if we'd gone with an external consultant who would have been the vendor of the Objective software. So that's the way that it would have been done alternatively. We also thought it was a good thing for the sector and a good thing for the cluster, and obviously being the Public Service Commission, we always have this sort of other hat on about how we're contributing to better behaviours around the sector, to collaborate and to share our knowledge and to share the DPC's knowledge in this kind of thing. We have a common platform. We're both Objective users of the Objective document system. Not, however, as it turned out, on the same instance. It says we're obviously part of the same cluster, and we're both GovConnect clients. And I'm sure those of you you would come from many agencies. GovConnect is now the outsourced shared services provider that was Service First prior to the outsourcing about a year and a bit ago. And so both DPC and PSC are GovConnect clients. So we're involved there. And all of the other GovConnect clients who are on Objective, which is not all of the clients, are on a single instance, and that includes Treasury and some others. And Premiers have had their own instance of the software. Historically, I'm not quite sure exactly why that is. It could be because it's Premiers and lots of ministerial and it's all very special, or it could be other historical reasons. So how did we go, and what were the key factors in this being a successful project? So one of the things was that we didn't try to invent anything. We didn't redesign. There was a solution in Premiers that was working and working well, and we said, yes, we'll have one of those. We won't go back and make substantial changes. Obviously, it was going to be configured for our environment, but we weren't going to make substantial changes. And the kind of change that I'm talking about, as an example, is that some years ago, Treasury, for instance, instituted electronic workflows and workflow approvals on their instance of Objective. But they went down a path of identifying... I think a few or half a dozen different workflows. The DPC approach was there's one workflow, there's only one workflow process. You can have different documents inside it, but there's one workflow. And we adopted that model. And so things like this is how the emails will look, this is the way the workflow will progress, these are the items in the catalogue in Objective that you'll be able to identify. This is the sort of reporting that you will get. We just took that as it had been designed for DPC. So we didn't try to build particularly new, we transferred it over. We had fantastic project management from Premier's. The IT team, again, both the agencies are quite small, but our agency is about 140 people. Premier's is about 500 people. So even though in some circumstances you'd look at Premier's and say it's quite small, it's four times what we are. So they have a much bigger IT team, and they had an IT project team, and they demonstrated through this some of the best project management actually that I've ever seen in corporate or private or community sectors. It was really, really good. We had leadership buy-in at the PSC, and this is obviously really, really important. So we had our deputy commissioner who'd been at, Sonia, who'd been at Premier's saying, I want that. We had the commissioner wanting it because he was feeling the pain of briefs taking a very long time, coming to him, he thought, in some cases, poorly constructed, poorly written, the process excellence in terms of for him to make decisions. So there was definitely a desire for things to improve. And part of what we did in this project, it was implementing a technology solution, but we were using the technology solution and that change to drive excellence around our processes. So we had other things around it as well in terms of the other thing that was happening that the Commissioner was less than delighted about was we had developed in the agency a bit of a tendency to push every decision up to the top. So all sorts of things, the briefs would go all the way through six people, you know, the person who started writing it and their manager and their manager and then a director and then a deputy commissioner and then the commissioner. And there was a conversation which went, a lot of you people have authority in delegation. What are you doing? Make some decisions. So there was a desire to push some things, to push decision making down to the level at which it should be made. And there was a desire to have better quality briefs, so we engaged in some of that exercise as well in terms of training people in plain English and improving the writing capability across the organisation. And of course, the other thing that was critical is the CIO at Premier's was happy for some of his team to turn themselves into consultants to work for us, as opposed to you know, fitting that around the work that they had to do for their own agency. So those sorts of senior level buy-in, and we ended up that the project sponsors were the Deputy Commissioner on our side and the Deputy Secretary on Premier's side. So that was pretty high-level sponsorship for the project. The next thing was we really, and this goes back to the way the project was managed by the DPC people, is that lots of communication for all of the people in the DPC and lots of training and engagement. And the other thing was making sure that we set up the right amount of ongoing support. Having mentioned that we're a small agency and we outsource a lot of our IT function, we don't have much in the way of an IT team that's inside the organisation. And we had one executive officer, executive support officer, who was the person, who looked after objective and provided training for new people as they came in and support for people along the way. But we identified that with the workflow system, there was going to be more criticality around how that worked. And so we, in effect, doubled the support. So two people, which is still not a huge number, but making sure that other people were capable of providing support for how it worked. And in the early days of the change, A lot of direct support, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of sessions, as you'll see as we go through. So overall performance, what did the project deliver? Fairly detailed project technical change and communications plans. They were quite well done. I can say that because DPC did those. We had a single generic tested and validated approval solution. This goes to the point that I made before, is that we picked up the solution that had been developed in Premier's and adopted it. We had a significant amount of change management and training that we undertook to ensure the adoption and to ensure ongoing use. That actually went better than we might have thought. We anticipated a fair bit of resistance. We knew that Objective as a records management system was used to varying degrees across the agency. that in some parts of the agency it was used extremely well and in some parts it wasn't. In fact, in the early survey of everybody before we started the project to do a baseline, we did a one quick question survey before we launched the project, and there was a couple of comments that came back that said, my manager doesn't use Objective, which was a little bit of a problem from a records point of view. So we thought that there might have been more resistance than there was, and I think the fact that we had very low resistance as we got into the project and 100% adoption of the new system would go to the senior level support, obviously. When the boss says, I want it done like this, kind of gets done like that. The second thing was the amount of effort that went into communication and change management training, and that was really quite important. And the third thing was that we chose the most recalcitrant branch to be our pilot group. So, and that was a little bit cynical, but also not very. We thought, if we can persuade this group of people that it will work, and if these people can use it, then everyone can use it. And that turned out to be the case. So we found when we started to do this, I said, so what are we going to do? How are we going to document this agreement between the agencies so that when they send us an invoice, we're allowed to pay it? And we can't sign a contract because that would be a contract of the Crown with the Crown, and that doesn't work. I don't know what other people's experience, we couldn't find a decent interagency sort of service kind of template. It was kind of weird. So we built one. It's not very sophisticated, but it's there. What were the benefits? A lot of increased transparency of the approval processes. We went from a process where the paper-based briefing process would be draft something, print it, give it to your manager, they make some alterations, give it back to you, make some more alterations, print it again, give it to the next manager, make some more alterations, make some review, lose it for a week in the pile on your desk, etc., etc. Lots of printing, lots of redoing, lots of round and round and round and round kind of exercises. And the person who started the process, who might be sitting wherever they might be in the hierarchy of the organisation, is like, I've done that and I've handed it up and it's disappeared into the black hole of those more senior than I, and I've no idea what's going on. Using the approval process and the workflows in Objective, of course, you can see at any point in time by going to the document where it is exactly. And everybody who's involved in the workflow process, in the workflow stream, and anyone who's identified as a CC in that process from the beginning gets a notification every time a step is passed. Every time something happens, you get a notification email saying such and such has approved this with changes, such and such has approved it without changes, such and such has sent it back to the person at the beginning to have another go, those sorts of things. So you see what's happening. This metric, and I have to apologise because I didn't have the time to refresh these metrics just before today's presentation, so I'm sorry about that. So this was a few months ago, these metrics were done. But we did go for an average number of approvers of 3.5 down to 2.4, and that would have been in the old system, the formal approvers who actually signed the document, and then a lower number from there, which is some benefit. And the average number of days from creation to approval went from 8.6 down to 4.6 in the early days. Now, it was that 8.6, it was actually hard in some cases to get that real metric when we were in the paper system. And we thought that we would try to identify how long it was taking to approve something by searching through Objective for the year before we launched the project for all the briefs that had been done, and do that just on keywords, find all the briefs, have a look at the date that they were created in Objective, have a look at the date that was the signature on the last page and the date next to that, and find out how many days took. What we kept coming up with was lots and lots and lots of instances when the number of days was negative and very large, which is quite alarming, because what that means is people have been dealing with their paper documents and their briefs entirely outside of the records keeping system. Nothing to do with Objective, just papers stored who knows where, version control, who would guess, and then when it's all finished and signed and they're thinking, oh, here's this brief is done, I'll need to file it somewhere, I'll scan that into Objective. So that was a little bit alarming. So that 8.6 is probably, you know, of those that were done in a different way, that was the number. It increased some structured collaboration between staff on decision documents. This goes to the point that in the past the only... I think it's one of those things where people not... familiar with a document management system working well will go, oh, it seems like a pain to have to do this. But when it's working well and you're familiar with it, it's actually nothing like a pain. It's actually really good. I get to draft a document, let someone else review it. I can track what their changes are. I can see what's happening. I can review the document. I can share it with however many people I want, and it's sitting in the same place. And a number of people can be involved with it. And that came to the fact that that sort of was getting people mentally adjusted to the consultation that you might do with a number of your colleagues around what needs to go into the brief and what the arguments are and how it needs to be dealt with is sort of one phase. And you do that consultation and get to a point where you're relatively happy that that's what the brief should be like. And then you start the formal workflow and that ticks off the thing and goes through the approvers. So some of the approvers, most of the approvers you'd hope would have had the conversation with you about the brief before that it lands in their inbox, but and they may have actually even seen drafts or contributed to it as work. It depends how that's gone. And now, of course, we have, as far as we know, all briefs actually being created for the first time in Objective and tracked all the way through, which is very nice. And the attachments, little things like proper naming conventions, so that the brief and all of its attachments get the same. The first part of the name of any brief is the A number from Objective, and the attachments get that number as well at the top. Not that doesn't change their document number, but their title gets that same name. So they're all together in the system, and you can find them very easily. Increased mobility for staff engaged in approval processes. This again is an early stat, but says that the number of staff accessing documents through the web, which means not necessarily sitting at their desk when they're accessing the document, went from 132 to 213. So we had a big increase in people who were being able to do this. Because the nice thing about this workflow process is that you can get an email saying there's a brief for you to approve on your mobile phone, open it up, make some edits if you want, do the approval on your phone, on your PC at home, wherever you happen to be. So that's really nice. And we got down printing. This says 62 briefs have been approved. That was in like a month and a half. That was a very early stat. And so we've gone from everything was printed multiple times to very, very early in the process, almost nothing was being printed. And in most cases, in our case, because many of our briefs, I suppose the majority of our briefs are for internal approval, the most would be for the Commissioner, then the Deputy Commissioner, and then members of the executive, like myself, would be approving briefs as well. From time to time, we have a brief for the Premier, and the Premier's office instructions are still that they want paper. So the ones that, which is interesting, and I don't know since the change if someone's raised the question again, but there is the capacity for it to go to the Premier through the DPC system without printing, but at the moment the rule is still paper. So it goes through all of our process, and then when it's ready to go, the Premier's office is a print at that point, but that's kind of right at the end. And sometimes also if one of the attachments is a letter for the Commissioner to send, that might end up being printed as well. Again, we've got approval to send, I mean there are many letters that are sent in electronic form, but there are still some kinds of letters that people feel more comfortable with it actually being a printed letter and a signature, so we have a little bit of a combination there in terms of the attachments, but not the brief per se. Overall project, this was our budget, and we spent that much, so a little bit over, but not too bad considering the way that we did things. Am I okay for time? In terms of how we did this, these are the results too. I said that before we started, we did a baseline and we sent out a little survey saying, one quick question, tell me what annoys you about Objective and give us your comments. And this is the follow-up after launch chart that came back. So we had 37% saying nothing is frustrating, I quite like it. So that was very good, that had gone up. We still have finding documents as difficult. So one of the things that we haven't quite done is review our file structure in Objective. I'm sure this is very familiar to all of you. These things start off simple and straightforward, and then they grow. And I was just looking for something yesterday and went through our structure, and I can find four different folders in four different locations that are called procurement and that are about our procurement processes and our guidelines and things. So drives me insane, but it's all right, we'll fix it. But we haven't quite fixed it yet. So people were still finding a little bit difficulty in actually locating documents. We had a small number of people saying it doesn't integrate with other programs, and that's true sometimes. There was the system slowness was a big point before it, and during this project we actually got Objective Corporation and Unisys to update the version of the software and remove some, not being a technical person, there was some configuration that was slowing it down, and we got that fixed, so that was good. So everything speeded up quite a lot as a byproduct of this. The folder structure, there's another sort of comment, I suppose, about finding documents, and then original comments. 30 people responding to a survey doesn't look very much. Remember, we're only 140. We'd had about 50 to 60 people reply to the first survey before we started, so it's a drop in numbers. But we also kind of figures that if people are really unhappy about something, they're probably going to tell you. So we were relatively comfortable. And this was what was good about the second survey after we launched the project, is here is some of the answers that we got the first time that we didn't get the second time. So the comment, my manager doesn't use Objective at all, had gone away, which is good. My team doesn't use it very well. The support isn't there. I've forgotten my training. The briefing correspondence process I don't like, and saving emails is complicated. All of those comments went away after we launched the project. They'd all been there at the baseline survey before the project. So we thought that was a bit of a gain. And we got a lovely bouquet from someone. Congratulations, this is wonderful, blah, blah. And it wasn't me or my mum, so it's good. So the technical collaboration involved, and the VMO, the VMO is the Vendor Management Office for the GovConnect. I don't know how many people here are in part of the GovConnect process. GovConnect arrangement, which is the outsourcing of the shared services for our group. So we had Objective Corporation involved, and they needed to be involved because there were going to be changes and we needed their support for what we were going to do. So it was things like making sure that, you know, moving out of, leaving our production environment going, setting up the test environment, doing the work in the test environment, then being able to bring the test environment back over into the production environment. That was a technical piece. Premiers were the main technical people running it. Unisys is the outsourced supporter of all of our IT systems with GovConnect, so they maintain and support the application. And the VMO came in down the bottom. That was interesting because, of course, I mentioned early on that in the in GovConnect there are three or four agencies, including Treasury, involved on the same instance of Objective as we are. And that's an instance supported by Unisys in the GovConnect environment. So when we got in touch with them and said, so we're going to do this project and we're going to change our thing, and they said, well, what's that going to do to me? We also had a specific comment from Treasury which said, we're just about to go into the, like, timing when the year went, when you wanted to do this, we're just about to go into our budget process. Don't touch anything because everyone will die if something goes wrong there. So the way that we tackled that, we used the VMO involved in that. And the other thing that we did is we invited the VMO and a representative from all of the other agencies who were on our instance of Objective onto our steering committee so that we could satisfy them that this was going to be okay. And the other reason Objective got involved is that in the end, the other agency said, I don't actually want Premier and Cabinet changing our instance. I want Objective to do that because then I can hold them to account if anything were to go wrong. So that upped our cost a little bit because we hadn't we had allocated a little bit of consulting time for Objective, but it probably doubled from $2,500 to $5,000. That sort of is a small amount of money. Most of the cost was hours of work from Premier and Cabinet, so there wasn't a lot of money going outside the sector. So that was how that worked. Consultation and change, a lot of activity inside the PSC. Emails to all staff. We have the fortnightly insight roundup email from the Commissioner, four inclusions in that, a couple of surveys, roadshows. So this was just putting on lunchtime things for different branches or going to the different branches meetings and saying, this is what the project looks like, this is what we're going to do. 50% of staff went to one of those, which was pretty good. New pages on our intranet, lots of views, and updated pages and news articles published about it. And we changed the briefing templates, made them available online and in Objective, which I think has been very helpful as well. One of the things that's improved with the quality of... I said at the beginning that there were some process excellence things that we had a process excellence stream, and there were some improvements in our business processes that we did tacked on to this technical project, if you like. And one of them that was in the past, if someone had a requirement, I need to write a brief to get approval for something, you know, someone new or inexperienced, okay, what does it need to say? What do I need to put in this brief? So what we did is we started with the Premier was very clear about any briefs that went to the Premier. There was a template that said, this is what the brief looks like. These are the headings. These are the things you have to cover. This is the order in which you do it. The recommendations go at the front, then they go again at the back. This is where the attachments go, blah, 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 blah. It's quite specific. So we knew what the Premier wanted with any briefs that were going to go to the Premier. So we just took that and we made a couple of amendments for the Commissioner to make it like an internal one. We changed the colours from the New South Wales, you know, blue and red for the Premier to our purple and green for the for the Public Service Commission, so it's very obvious when you look at something who it's for. And so we just identified, and the reason there are six templates, there's two for the Premier approval information, two for the Commissioner and others approval and information, and two from legal, which has special wording around privilege and blah, blah, blah on it. So that's why there are six. In fact, we've built another couple since then, which I'll talk about in a minute. What are we doing next? In terms of this project. So new specific purpose templates being developed, and one of the things that that has happened recently is we've introduced some different processes around. We've had a bit of a flurry of, it's an interesting agency, the PSC, it's a relatively small central agency, and so we get a relatively high degree of turnover of staff, which for the most part is actually a really good thing. It's people coming to work at the PSC, find out what it's like, and then going back into the real world and and doing other things. And it's people in the PSC developing expertise and going out to work in the sector. So there's a relative. So we had a lot of recruitment happening. We had some interesting changes in budget environment and things like that. Long story short, ended up with a little bit of pressure on our labour expense cap for the current financial year and looking at next year's budget. So we introduced a new template which says anytime you want approval for anything to do around a recruitment action, replacing someone, creating a role, blah, 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 this is your template. And so what we were able to do with that is to say you've got to use this template, and again put some tables in there about the details about the role. Finance have to provide the information about the effect on the labour expense cap, all those kinds of things. And we put boxes for this is where head of HR's comments go, this is where the head of the CFO's comments go, etc. And by just building that template, able to control what people are doing, the information they're providing around recruitment. And at the moment, until the end of the financial year, all of those briefs that have any recruitment action have to go through the Deputy Commissioner or the Commissioner, not just the Director, even if the Director or the Executive Director has delegation. So we've been able to use those templates to control some process around how people are making business decisions, and that's been quite good. We continue to roll out our Plan English training for all levels. We've started from everyone from about a 7-8 upwards, I think, and we had some training going for director level people as well. We're looking at DPC, we understand, have made their workflow emails a lot nicer and prettier. So I don't know that there's a great deal of functional improvement, but there's definitely some look and feel and user experience improvement in the way that they have modified recently their emails. So we might pinch that as well. We have not yet, I mentioned a couple of times as I went through the presentation that some of the metrics I was showing you were not necessarily all that current. So we haven't yet, we pull out reports from time to time when we want to look at things. We don't have regular reporting in place. That's something that we need to do. And we have begun and are engaging with other agencies who have an interest in this sort of thing. So there's been inquiries from a couple of agencies, particularly I think Treasury have been looking at maybe moving away from their multiple workflows to a single workflow. And we've had a chat with them about what we found, how we found that, and they will make their decision at whatever point works for them. So I think that's all.
Anyway, please thank Denise.